Words of wisdom from my 9-year-old grandson on our recent vacation. You never quit. You never give up.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, Michael Brown here, delighted to be back with you on The Line of Fire. We've had a great vacation time with our family, 10 of us together. And I know some of you actually prayed that we'd have a restful time, that we'd have fun family time. It was that and more, lots of great memories and even some good lessons. I will weave them in. I assure you, we were joking during the week. Something would happen and someone in the family would say, oh, is that going to make it on the radio this week? I said, yeah, sure will. And in fact, I want to talk to you today about something that came up from our younger of our 9-year-old grandsons. They're about 5 weeks apart. Words of wisdom that he spoke to me. I won't be taking calls. I'll be taking your calls all through the week again. And as much as I had a great time with family and we got to relax and pull away from other things, yeah, I missed radio in terms of couldn't wait to get back and start up with you. So sit back, enjoy the broadcast today on The Line of Fire. So let me just mention a couple of interesting things that happened along the way. We went through a place called Cades Cove, and it's just forest area and open fields, and there's some old houses and things in there from probably 1800s and stuff. You can just walk into some of them. And we were out. We got to go a second time after some of the family had left. The rest of the family that was there went out, and we got to see bears and things we were looking for. But we were out in two vehicles. We had five in one, five in the other. So the guys in one, the ladies in the other. And the youngest of everyone there is our 6-year-old granddaughter, Riley. And we were driving, and she was just afraid. It was getting dusk, and that was supposedly the ideal time to spot bears. That's what we were looking for. And she said, are we going to see a coyote? I wasn't in the vehicle when this was happening, but this was her concern. We're going to see a coyote. And everyone said, we're not going to see a coyote. Yeah, of all animals, right, we're going to see a coyote. No, and that's the one animal. Are we going to see a coyote? Well, sure enough, the guys in our car, we were a little bit separated at this point. Lo and behold, there's a coyote by the side of the car. And as we drove, this thing was just running down the side of the road, kind of prancing, walking down, running down the side of the road. So we just kept tracking right next to this thing for a pretty good period of time. And then we finally run into the ladies. We saw a coyote. You would believe we saw a coyote. We started describing it. The ladies started joking, and Riley said, I think I'm going to faint. Anyway, moral lesson number one from the vacation. And I want to seriously talk to you about this today. I've been reflecting on it, and I think it's a very, very important theme. One of the things we did as a family was went into a mirror maze. So our two sons-in-law, one grandson, they went on and they figured out their way through, and everybody else, we're just making no progress quickly. So I'm with Connor, our other 9-year-old grandson, and we're going around and around and around and around, and we keep ending up, no, Grandpa, this way, I'm sure it's this way. He's a big, strong kid, plays football, over 100 pounds already, and Grandpa, this way. So we're going, okay, Connor, come on, let's go this way. We don't find anything, and we keep passing this hallway, and there's a sign, exit halfway, and I thought, we're going to be going around in here, on and on and on and on, and on. We're not making any progress, we're not going to get out. So I said, hey, Connor, I said, how about next time we find that exit sign, we get out there? And he looks at me with passion in his eyes. He goes, Grandpa, you never quit. You never give up, which is one of the lessons his dad has taught him. Although his dad quit on zip lining above the trees, he wasn't happy doing that. He didn't make it through that day. But you never quit. You never give up. I want to give you some solid, critically important reasons for you in your walk with God. Well, this must be a foundation. You never quit. You never give up. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking today about finishing the race, not quitting, not dropping out. Perhaps this is a word for the Lord, for you. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. We've had a delightful week of vacation and thrilled to have the time away, thrilled to have a lot of fun time with family, but so eager to be back with all of you, my listening audience. And I realize, honestly, there's a sense of family and collegiality with all of you who listen to the show. I met someone for the first time the other day, and he said, man, I listen to your show regularly. His first time we met, he said, I feel like I know you. And I said, yeah, it's an interesting relationship that develops with the radio audience. So you are extended family. Thanks again for praying for us as we were away for a great family time. But as I mentioned, to start the broadcast off, I'm not taking calls today. Back tomorrow, I'll be taking your calls as always. But in the Mirror Maze in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where we rented a cabin for all 10 of us together, we out with family and just going around endlessly in this Mirror Maze. And I proposed to Connor, one of our 2 9-year-old grandsons, about 5 weeks apart. I said, hey, buddy, next time we see that hallway where there's an exit door, why don't we just exit out into the lobby? No, we're not going to make it out. Now, the end of the story, by the way, is that our younger daughter, Megan, came back in and found us and was able to get us out, said, hey, go this way and we'll get out this turn, that, you know, just figured the way out. But when I proposed to Connor, why don't we just quit and get out? We were having fun, but I just thought, okay, let's go on to the next thing. He looked at me passionately and said, Grandpa, you never quit. You never give up. So we went for it until we were rescued and made our way out. But I began to think about this because I thought, all right, you know me. I'm going to weave what happened on our vacation and our family time. I'm going to weave that into the broadcast for the week. And I thought, I've been thinking about this subject, about not quitting, not giving up, and why it is so absolutely important. You know, when Paul comes to the end of his life, in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, he knows he's going to be martyred. He knows his time on earth is done. And he's able to say something of tremendous significance. It's not just dying without regret. It's why he's able to get to that point. And what does he say? He speaks about three things. One is that he fought the fight, the good fight of the faith. Another is that he kept the faith. But then he also says this, that he finished the race. Often in Paul's words, he spoke about the race that we were running. In Acts, the 20th chapter, he made reference to his life as a race that he was running. And it was a race to complete the task. God had given him the task of declaring the gospel of God's grace. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, he made clear that we all had to run our race so as to win. This is just the way we're supposed to live as believers, to run and to run our race so as to win. You're not running my race, I'm not running yours. But then look at what he says, 2 Timothy 4:8, or 4:7, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. I want to give you a number of reasons why it's so important to finish the race, to finish what you start, not to drop out, not to quit, not to give way, not to cave in. The reward is given. The award is given. The payment is made to those who finish. When you give out the medals are only given to those who finish the race. I remember when our daughters were little, one day they were having athletic competitions at their Christian school, and our older daughter, Jen, was a very fast runner and good gymnastically when she was a little kid. And we said, okay, they needed some parents to help out and ref the things and be there to supervise. So I was free that day, and I said, hey, I'll go gladly. And I'm cheering her on and all this, and she did great. There was a sprint with other girls in her class. Maybe she was like 4th grade or something like that, and she won the sprint. And then there was another event, and unfortunately, I got so carried away rooting for Armstrong. Come on, Jim, come on. I realized I was supposed to be impartial there. Just some of the parents kind of gave me the look. Sorry, I'm just supposed to be supervising here. And she won another event. And then the day was going to end with a longer race. Now, I don't remember how long it was. It's for little kids. Was it a quarter of a mile? Was it a half a mile? I don't know. But I said, listen, Jen, this race is different than all the other races. This race is different. You got to just pace yourself. Just kind of run slower. And then as you get closer to the end, run fast and finish strong. Well, you know, she was enthusiastic. She was a little girl. She thought she could do anything. And she runs out. This is boys and girls together. And she actually gets to the top, the front of the pack, and starts to lead everybody. And I thought, maybe she can do it. That's my daughter. That's my girl. Maybe she can do it. Maybe. Well, it wasn't long into it. She starts to fade and fade, and she gets passed by just about everybody because she ran too fast, too soon. It's so big deal. You made a big start. Big deal. You ran really fast to start. Big deal. You were unstoppable at the beginning, but the race is not won by starting fast. You don't get your medal for starting fast. And look, if it's a baseball game, you can be leading 10-0 going into the ninth inning. And if the other team scores 11 runs in the ninth inning, the last inning in the game, and they beat you 11-10, that's considered to be a monumental collapse. That's considered to be a monumental loss. Better that you even score the 10 runs and the other team just won at the end. What does it matter if you make some great show at the beginning? You got to get to the end. The conclusion is at the end. The reward is at the end. The lesson that is learned is at the end. The character that's developed is by not quitting along the way. I was thinking of some verses if you had an incomplete statement. I was thinking of verses that would end without perseverance, that would end with a beginning as opposed to ending with an end. For example, Jesus, the author of our faith. Well, that's wonderful that he's the author of our faith. That's wonderful that he begins things. It's wonderful that he brings us salvation. It's wonderful that he changes us. It's wonderful that he's with us. It's wonderful that he's helping us. But if all he did was got us started, what's the use of it? If it is all going to end up falling on me to get through, and he is not going to help me through, and he is not going to be there, and he is not going to finish what he started, what's the use of it? Many of you are spiritually frustrated because you never have that character quality, that determination to keep going when the going gets tough. That when things are rough and difficult and challenging, that's when you drop out, and then you have to start over again. You got to go back for the most part and start over again. In many cases, you can't just pick up where you were because the opportunity isn't there anymore. Thank God Jesus is not just the author of our faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Thank God he didn't just come into the world miraculously and then live miraculously and do all kinds of incredible things, but then shy away from the cross. God forbid, shy away from the cross when that moment came. No, he persevered to the end. He's our example. He persevered to the end, and he died, and he rose from the dead, and he never sinned. He was in perfect obedience to the Father the entire time. He is our example, the author and finisher of our faith. I just want to speak a word of encouragement to those who are weary. I want to speak a word of encouragement to those who've run well, but now in this particular stage of the race, it feels like you've hit a wall. God can help you finish. If you're doing the will of God, there is a way to finish what you started. If you're not in the will of God, the sooner you quit and get out of it, the better. But if you're in the will of God, if you're doing what he called you to do, Hebrews 10 tells us that there's need of perseverance, that when we've done the will of God, we can then persevere to receive the promise. In other words, we've done what God said, and we're going to stand, and we're going to be steadfast. If you're doing his will, his grace is sufficient. Don't drop out. Let those words that my 9-year-old grandson spoke to me be prophetic for you. You never quit. You never drop out. Are you telling me God's grace is not sufficient? Are you telling me that God cannot help you through? Are you telling me that it is so impossible? With God, all things are possible. I want to continue to edify you, build you up, strengthen you today as we share on this theme of you never give up, you never quit. Let me say it again. The ones who get the medals, the ones who get the awards and the rewards and the payments are the ones who finish the race. A whole lot more to come today, right here on the Line of Fire. Stay tuned for more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you after a wonderful, fun, great family vacation time in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And yes, need to do a little bit of discipline in diet for these next few days and weeks, because we did enjoy ourselves in quite a few different ways, including a lot of fun food too. But anyway, I want to talk to you today about a serious subject, one that I think is so important for all of us as believers, namely not quitting, not dropping out, finishing what God gives us to do. If you missed the earlier part of the broadcast, I'm not taking calls today, but trapped in the mirror maze with my 9-year-old grandson, Connor. I was his teammate, just going around in circles, realizing we're not going to get out of here, having fun, but thinking some of the family's probably out. Maybe everybody's out already. We're not getting out of here anytime soon. And why don't we exit out the side door? He looks at me, Grandpa, you never quit. You never give up. And I've shared from the life of Paul how at the end of his life, when he knows he's going to be martyred, he can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. I'm ready to go. I'm done. I've finished the race. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Here is a very simple spiritual principle. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. Let me repeat that. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. Can I say it again? There are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. And the only way you get into second grade is by finishing first grade. The only way you get to move on is by completing the task that's been given to you. It may not always look successful in the eyes of man. Look, there have been times I've been in situations where I just had to swallow hard, eat my pride, eat my desire to be vindicated or whatever the thing was, and just submit to what was happening, submit to authority, submit to the situation that I was in, and just say, all right, I will pray and honor the Lord and let him bring this to conclusion. Even if the conclusion is not some glorious blessing or something that happens on my end, I want to be able to say I endured. When the going got tough, I didn't just drop out and quit because it was challenging, because it was difficult. No, I persevered by the grace of God until we got to the end. Think of those that we admire in Scripture. Think of those who are examples to us. Think of Abraham, the father of faith, the father of the faithful. That it tells us in Romans, the 4th chapter, that even though things looked impossible, that he did not cave in, he did not give up. Look at what's written in Romans, the 4th chapter. Paul says this, in hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. And look, the previous verse tells us, God says to him, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. That's the God we serve. In hope, Abraham believed against hope. So he had hope even when he had to believe against hope, even when logic and circumstances would tell you, give up, throw in the towel. Look, he received the promise from God when he was in his 70s that he was going to be a blessing to the world through his seed, and yet he can't have a child. 25 years go by before the promise is fulfilled. His son Isaac, the promised child, has the same situation with Rebecca. She's barren. And it's 20 years. If you look at the account in Genesis, it's 20 years from when they get married to when she can have a child. Often the most important things in your life will receive the greatest tests. Often the greatest promises will receive the greatest tests. Basilius Schlink said, the greater God's promises for your life, the longer they'll take to be fulfilled. So Abraham, in hope, believes against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he has been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. Some Greek texts say he did not weaken in faith when he did not consider his own body. Either way, the result's the same. Either he looks at his situation and doesn't waver, or he refuses to look at his situation. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. So he didn't waver. He continued to believe. He had his challenges and his tests, but he held on and he received the promise. If he didn't, we wouldn't be here today. If he didn't, then the plan of salvation would not have come the way it came. And however God did it, we wouldn't be talking about Abraham, the father of faith. We wouldn't be talking about the children of Israel, because history would have been completely different. And God would have had to send redemption a different way. Don't be a quitter. Some of you have that label hanging over you. That's a great thing to change. That's something you can always change. There are certain things it's hard to change, but if you have the reputation of being a quitter, or if that's the self-image you have, you can change that. All right, friends, I've got a whole lot more to share with you. If you miss any of the broadcast, go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Later today, just click on the latest audio, and you'll be able to listen to the entire hour broadcast. Not quitting, not giving up. I've got a lot more to share with you. Some other illustrations to share with you from Scripture and from my own life and from the lives of others as well. Friends, today and through this week, we're offering my book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices, which I wrote because we were constantly getting flooded with these kinds of questions. Should Christians keep the Sabbath? Why are the dietary laws? Was the New Testament written in Hebrew or Aramaic? And how do we relate to the feasts of Israel today? And what about the different denominations in Judaism and the history of modern Israel and origins of anti-Semitism? All these questions, we provide fascinating answers. What I want to do is this. The book normally sells for $18, plus I have a two-hour DVD lecture from the University of South Florida last year, Is Israel an Evil Occupier?, where we tackle some of the most common misconceptions about Israel. There's even a Q&A with Muslim Palestinian students submitting questions at the end. That's a $20 DVD with postage over $40, but they're yours both combined for your gift of any size. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Hang in there. Trust God. His grace is sufficient.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Come on, just think of what happens when you quit in a difficult time. The regret, the wishing you could go do it over, the sense of, okay, next time I'll do better, the kind of chastising yourself, I didn't have to. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, we give up prematurely, and oh, the loss to ourselves and others when we do, but the joy of persevering to the end. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining me on the Line of Fire today. Finished up a great, great vacation time with family. Not taking calls today. We'll be taking calls again tomorrow, as always. But thanks. Some of you I know prayed, sent messages, enjoyed the vacation. So thank you so much for doing that. We really had a wonderful time. And I know, look, I understand that the world does not revolve around each of us individually or family time or vacation, but we planned this out many months in advance because we had three families and schedules to coordinate. And then a few days before we're going to leave, oh no, it's supposed to be thunder showers every single day, scattered showers or thunder showers every single day. And we had all these outdoor activities planned and things. So I just prayed. I don't want to pray a selfish prayer. And I said, Father, I know there are a lot of different things going on with weather, you know, weather patterns and rain and not rain that affects people's lives in different ways. I said, Lord, just give us the ideal weather for this vacation. And it was. I mean, we had beautiful sunny days and everything went so well. So really, thanks for those that took time and said, Lord, bless them on their vacation. And we're talking today about a simple moral lesson. You don't quit. You don't give up. Now, if something is outside of the will of God and you know it's wrong, then you quit as soon as it's possible to quit and you get out of that thing and you run from it. But if something is the will of God, you know how many of you right now are listening and you're smiling at me because your marriage was on the rocks at one point and things look so miserable and you were ready to quit and you were ready to go through with a divorce, but you knew, no, God brought us together. No, we're married in God's sight. No, divorce is not an option. And lo and behold, this is years and years later and you are blessed and your family is blessed and you've blessed other lives. Think of what would have happened if you quit in the midst of the pressure, the stress. I got an email from a missionary in Indonesia serving on the field for a number of years and went through some difficult times as all missionaries do, whether it's the culture shock, whether it's the spiritual attack, whether it's the level of trial and test and difficulty along the way and the lack of fruit. And he got discouraged and was ready to quit. And he wanted me to know, he listened to messages and teachings I had given during the Brownsville Revival. And he said that the Spirit of God was working so strongly through those messages that it just encouraged his heart. And he hung in there and he said, I'm not going to quit. And there he is on the mission field. I want to encourage you, you do not get promoted to the next level without going to the end. You don't get to second grade before you finish first grade. You don't get to build the second story of the house until you complete the first. And if you complete the first in a slipshod, lousy way, that second story will not be supported. I want to encourage you. I want to give you some scripture today. I want to give you some real life examples. In fact, as we're talking, I am looking at my right leg as I can look down and take a look at my right leg, bottom part of my right leg, which is really scraped up and scratched. And there's a story to it. But I was in a situation where I had no choice. I had no choice but to persevere to the end. And I'm so glad I did. And if I could do the thing again, go through the test and persevere and not go through it with joy, scratches and all, I'd persevere. Come on, you're not a quitter. If Jesus lives inside of you, if you're a child of God, if you're born of the Spirit, you are not a quitter. In fact, according to the Word, you're an overcomer. That's your nature in God. Take hold of it and rise up and be strong.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking about endurance, about persevering, about not quitting. Today on The Line of Fire, words spoken to me by our 9-year-old grandson, Connor, during our vacation this past week in the midst of the mirror maze in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, unable to find our way out when I suggested, why don't we just look for the exit? He said, Grandpa, you never quit. You never give up with so much passion and conviction. Now, later on, we were playing something else. Neither of us were enjoying it, to be honest. Some of the other family had dropped out already, and we're like, it's just not a fun game. And I said, hey, buddy, you know, we're done. He said, okay, can we go play putt-putt? I said, no, we got to wait for others to finish. So he looks at me, he says, all right. You never quit. You never give up, because he knew I was going to. I told him, man, I'm going to talk about this on the radio. So he was a little half-hearted that second time, and we're like, forget it. It wasn't worth it. But when there's something that you know is right, when there's something that you know is the will of God, when there's something that you know is important, friends, persevering to the end is sometimes the difference between life and death. Persevering to the end is sometimes the difference between success and failure. Persevering to the end is sometimes the difference between promotion and demotion. Finishing to the end is sometimes the difference between pleasing God and displeasing God. It is often the very thing that builds our character. And based on that, the lesson is learned. Oh, we learn lessons by dropping out. We learn negative lessons. We learn bad lessons. We learn harmful lessons in terms of the wrong that happens when we drop out, when we quit, when we make excuses, when we blame others. And let me just say this candidly. If the shoe fits, wear it. You know the saying. If you're always going to blame others, if you're always going to say why your failure is someone else's responsibility, why it's not your fault, you'll never make it. You'll never really succeed in doing what God calls you to do. You'll never really grow. Yeah, there are times when things are the fault of others. There are times when legitimately something is not our fault. But if your whole mentality is excuse-making, blaming, pointing the finger, I'll tell you this plainly, you will never succeed and grow into what God has called you to succeed and grow into. I want to tell you about my scratched up leg in a moment and how that happened. But first, let me read some scripture to you. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans, the 5th chapter. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Was that received as a gift? Yes. Was salvation received as a gift? Yes. Were we justified by faith as a gift from God? Yes. Did we have to, we're going to believe, and fight and fight and fight? It's a gift from God based on what Jesus did, and our accepting of what he did to save us from our sins and to bring us into a life of obedience to God. Now, Paul goes on, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But not only so, we rejoice in our sufferings. And as I take it contextually in Romans, in the New Testament as well, he's speaking in particular about suffering for the faith. He's speaking in particular about suffering for the gospel. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. When these things are built into your life, and godly character and faith are built into your life, a natural result is hope. I have good reason to hope in God. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Note those words. Suffering produces endurance. It produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. If you quit along the way, that character won't be built into you. What does Paul write in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, speaking of the Old Testament scriptures, the Bible of the day? For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And then he says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Messiah Jesus. When he speaks of his own life in 2 Corinthians 6, he says in verse 4, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. What does he put first? By great endurance. When you think of Paul, one of the number one things you think of in his life is he persevered. He endured. Great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. And then he goes on with this extraordinary list. But he starts with, by great endurance. That's how we commend ourselves to you. He prays for the Colossian believers, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, for you have need of endurance, perseverance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. There is that doing the will of God and then standing your ground and not yielding. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. John describes himself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. We hear this because John persevered. According to tradition, he was boiled in oil twice, and when he didn't die, they just exiled him. And notice he puts kingdom in between tribulation and patient endurance. And he notes with three of the different cities, the believers in three of the different cities, in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus notes the endurance of these believers. It's the one who finishes the race. That's what matters. So we went out one day on our vacation in Gatlinburg. We went out zip lining, and that's where you go, you hang onto these bars basically, and you go across these cables that are hung between trees. The longest run we had was 1,550 feet, and you're soaring above the treetops in the forests and the mountains. It's glorious. I mean, they're short rides. You do like seven or eight, you know, one, then another, and it takes a while for everybody to get across, and sometimes you come careening in, I mean, mega fast, and you short stop, and it's great. It's just thrilling, super enjoyable, and just, I mean, how often you get to soar above the trees like that. And then we did that one morning. And then in the afternoon at the same place in Gatlinburg, I think it was called Firefox Mountain. So yeah, that's a recommendation for me. We then went out on this, it was called a bear crawler. It's kind of an amphibious all-terrain vehicle, so we can go careening through the water and up the side of the mountains. It was like a real-life roller coaster. I'm talking about crazy turns. We were screaming and laughing and bouncing all over. It was wonderful. I would say, aside from some hair-raising rides in India and some other nations, which were not intended to be such, this was definitely, really, above all, the number one ride I ever had. Well, at a certain point, we stop, and there's this old iron mine shaft, and we get out of the vehicles, and they said, yeah, it's an iron mine, and it used to be mined there. It's a shaft, and there's a rope, and it's, you know, slippery, muddy, and then rocks around you. And you just grab on that rope, and it's got notches along the way, and here and there, like a little handle you can hold on to, and you pull yourself up. And so a bunch of us just went for it. One of my sons-in-law went for it, and the two grandsons went for it, and our older granddaughter went for it, and to my surprise, two daughters went for it. So of course I'm going to go for it instantly. Now we've been eating a lot, haven't been working out on the vacation, and so it wasn't, you know, the ideal setting to do it. You know, I'm a, you know, big guy, 250 pounds, but so we're going and you know, making our way up to the top, and my son-in-law finishes first, and one of our grandsons he's up there, that they all made it. And so, you know, I'm getting up, and when you get close to the end, when you get close to the end, that's when you start feeling, that's when you're starting to get out of breath, and that's when it's steeper, and you're close, you're maybe 5-10 feet away, and it's really difficult. Well, where are you going to go? I mean, going back down, you got people behind you. Going, how are you going to go back down? And I'll tell you about this. Well, all right, I'm not going to have a chance to tell you about the scratches on my legs, but the whole deal is if I can't make it, panic sets in or fear sets in. You're just too much out of breath. Your hands, I got kind of soft hands, and pulling on that rope, I'm going to skin my hands and blister and all of this. And you got to just finish. It's just a few feet more. Just endure to the end. You will get through. You will get through. God won't let you be tested above your strength. If you're doing the will of God, hold on to that rope of the promises of the will of God. Persevere. Come on. You can do it. You don't quit. You never give up. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thanks again for your kind wishes and prayers during our great family vacation. It really was wonderful in every respect, and I've been sharing some reflections based on words spoken passionately to me in the mirror maze when we were lost with no way out from my grandson, Connor, 9 years old. Grandpa, you never quit. You never give up. I've been encouraging you, exhorting you to endure, to make it, to persevere through to the end of your mission. Look, if you signed up for something, unless it's sinful and wrong, and you shouldn't be doing it at all, but if you signed up for it, whether it's fun or not, whether it's living up to your expectations or not, whether it's panning out the way you thought it would, if you committed to it, finish the race. I'm not taking calls today. I will tomorrow. So whatever's on your mind, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of important things. We've got some great guests over the next couple of weeks as well. And I thoroughly enjoyed vacation, but trust me, I thoroughly enjoy doing radio. Vacation was wonderful, and I never thought, oh, thank God, I don't have to go to work. I don't think of going to work. This is joy, privilege, ministry, being on radio, teaching, preaching, incredible joy, privilege, and honor. So thanks for allowing me to share this time with you. So I was just talking about my own little finishing what I started story. We were at this old iron mine. It was a shaft, and you had a go all the way up this wall, and the way up was there was a rope in the middle, and you had to pull yourself up by and then just step up this muddy, real steep incline. Some rocks here and there you could steady your feet a little bit, you know, the tiniest part of a ledge you could steady your feet on it. And when we finished, I got to the top, and then other family members, my son-in-law Ryan, of course, he had to be first, and he got up there. But he claims he wanted to get up to help others to the top as well. We got up, two grandsons finished, granddaughter Eliana finished, 12 years old. I mean, we were real proud of him, because especially at the top, it was real tough at the end to finish. And then our two daughters, Jen and Meg, they did it, got all the way up. I was amazed to see they made it all the way to the top. And then son-in-law Ryan is going to go back down. Can you go down? Yeah, and go back down. And then one of our grandsons is going to go back down, but everybody else is going to walk down a path to get back. So better part of wisdom to walk down the path, right? It's a pretty steep deal going up and down there, and you could easily slip. If you slip, you had a nice long fall, and you'd be pretty severely banged up by the time you got to the bottom of that. With some rocks along the way, you could have some serious injuries. So my son-in-law Ryan, come on, come down. And of course, I don't want there to be a challenge that I don't take. Come on down. Well, should I? Shouldn't I? I mean, I didn't want to be foolish about it. And so I'm going to take the path. Everyone else saying, come on, Dad, go down the path. Don't go this way. You know, Grandpa, come on, go down. So I'm going to go down the path. And then my son-in-law was shouting for me to go back down the rope, and I thought, well, I can't pass this by. I can't pass this challenge by. So I said, is it easier going down than up? Yeah. But I didn't hear it, something enthusiastic. Well, one of the guys that was with us on this trip as we were going on this all-terrain vehicle up these mountain paths and through water, just this outrageous, kind of like a real-life roller coaster trip, bear crawler, I think they called it. One guy was stationed in the middle just to be there to help. So I start going back. Now, there's a problem. It was slick, and I was wearing sneakers that were a bit worn. Others were too, so it's kind of slick. But I'm not used to doing this. I'm strong, but I'm not agile. And you're supposed to lean back, and that gives a better base for your feet. It's kind of counterintuitive. You don't want to do that. You want to be going the other way, kind of leaning yourself forward, but it's much better. And I didn't get comfortable with it. As I'm going, my other issue is typing at my computer and turning the pages of books. My hands do not get particularly worn. So I've got very soft hands. And sometimes when I'm working out, lifting weights, I'll put gloves on. So my hands are real soft. And I'm thinking, coming down this rope, I'm going to skin my hands. Within seconds, I'm figuring I'm going to blister skin my hands. So I start going down. Sure, I slipped. I almost knocked my mic off here. I started to slip. Boom. I'm talking about I started to slide down the side. And we actually have this on video. My daughters got a little nervous. One of them was videoing it and decided to stop after the second fall. So, you know, I grabbed the rope. And I wasn't panicked. I just knew you have to grab it. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to skin my hands completely here. And I'm definitely skinning my legs sliding down this thing. And they say, hey, you want to go back up? And, you know, we'll help you get back up. I said, no, I'm all right. I just got to catch my breath a little bit here. Go down. So slipped again. It slid down a little further this time and grabbed hold. They said, hey, if you want to go back up, try it, and we'll help you, because I was pretty close to the top, whereas I had the rest of the way down. I was like, no, man, I'm going to finish this. I'm thinking, whatever. My hands are going to be completely skinned. My legs are going to be skinned, but whatever. I got to finish. And then after that, was able, you know, just a couple of missteps after that, but little by little, got my way down. And I got to tell you the truth. I don't like getting my hands dirty either. Oh, hands dirty in ministry and life and difficulty. That's fine. But get my hands dirty, just mud and dirt. I don't like it. My hands are all muddy. I blistered on a few parts of my hands, you know, finger and palm of the hand, blistered, the skin wore right off. And then, you know, my whole right side of my leg was all scratched up because I was wearing shorts and all caked with mud. And I gave a little talk. We videotaped it, so we'll have that video. You can watch it on YouTube. But I enjoyed the sense of pain. I enjoyed that, you know, I wasn't in agony or anything like that. Just, you know, skin, you know, scratched my leg in a bunch of places and blistered my hand in a couple of places. But I felt good. It was that good kind of feeling, like you did it. You finished. It was painful along the way. It was a little frightful a couple of times, especially for family watching. But, you know, there's a verse in Proverbs 24. It says this, verses 10 and 11. Well, let me focus on verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Verse 11 and then 12 is one we often use in the pro-life movement. But verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I want to encourage you, don't faint in this day of trouble. This is what you're made for. This is what you're prepared for. Learn your lesson well. And God will promote you. Those who've quit and dropped out along the way, ask God to forgive you if you sinned, broke commitments, and then ask him for another opportunity to pass that test. You'll come out stronger than you've ever been. You don't quit. You don't give up. Today, you can get my book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices, chock full of super interesting information, plus my two-hour DVD, Is Israel an Evil Occupier? So important in this day and age. With postage over $40 of material, yours for your gift of any size. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, aren't you thankful that Jesus is not just the author of our faith, but the author and the finisher of our faith? He persevered on your behalf. Now, persevere.